Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Hi, everybody. Happy July. And I just want to start for a minute today by acknowledging that our hearts go out to the families of the 19 firefighters who died in Prescott, Arizona, as you just heard on the news. We'll talk later in the show about how exactly and open the phones for firefighters as a tribute later on. Not that far from Prescott, it was 128 degrees in Death Valley yesterday, as they also just noted on the news. In what I heard earlier was the hottest temperature ever recorded in the United States in the month of June, 128. One other thing, congratulations to Julian Marsh and Trey Popoff of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Did you hear their story yet? Just days after the Supreme Court's DOMA ruling, they have become the first ever gay married people in this country to win a green card for a spouse under U.S. immigration law. How about that? Popoff is from Bulgaria. Striking down DOMA means legally married gays are now eligible for spousal green cards like any other immigrants. And Mr. Popoff is the first person ever to be granted one. We note that historic first. And it looks like Edward Snowden is beginning July in legal no man's land, even as his revelations complicate relations for the U.S. government even more. Ecuador may be backing down from granting Snowden asylum under U.S. pressure, but new documents that Snowden released are now getting Europe furious with the United States. Let's check out the latest on all these fronts and what it means with USA Today, Washington Bureau Chief Susan Page. Hi, Susan. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, Brian. It's great to be with you again.
So Vice President Biden talked to Ecuadorian President Rafael Correa on Friday. Is anyone saying what they talked about?
Well, I think we know what they talked about. I think they probably talked about Edward Snowden and his extradition request to Ecuador. We think it's possible they also talked about tariffs on rose imports, because the United States last week suspended a decision on that, presumably to put some pressure on Ecuador. It's possible they
rose,
talked about—
Rose, did you say rose imports,
R-O-S-E.
The flowers?
Yes, flowers. You know, it's a big business in Ecuador, and the United States was considering ending tariffs. That was on its course to being approved, and suddenly it is stalled. I can only assume that's because the United States is trying to put some pressure on Ecuador. And they may have talked about this case that I only learned of this morning, about these two bankers from Ecuador who have been holed up in Miami. The United States has refused to extradite them so far. If I were those two bankers, I would be a little nervous about a trade that could be in the works on extradition.
Well, would it be a trade? I want to play a clip of President Obama when he was in Senegal the other day, obviously frustrated with this whole idea of wheeling and dealing for Edward Snowden. Listen.
I'm not going to have one case of a suspect who we're trying to extradite suddenly being elevated to the point where I've got to start doing wheeling and dealing and trading on a whole host of other issues, simply to get a guy extradited.
President Obama the other day. So, Susan, let's unpack some of this. There's the relationship between the U.S. and Ecuador. There's the relationship between Ecuador and Snowden. We'll get into U.S. EU, now that more Snowden revelations have come out in some European publications. But there seems to be this complicated dance going on, first of all, between Ecuador and the United States over Snowden. When Ecuador says on the one hand that they won't consider an asylum request unless Snowden makes it from Russia to Ecuador first, is that intended to rebuff Snowden and be a favor to the United States, or cave to pressure from the United States?
Well, here's the wonderful thing about what President Obama said a couple days ago. He said basically, nothing to see here. This is not important enough to rise to the level of me. We don't want to do wheeling and dealing. Whereas just below the level of President Obama, the U.S. government is frantically wheeling and dealing and threatening and pressuring
Biden
to try to get this guy back. I mean, if you're not the president calling Ecuador, the president of Ecuador, the next best person you can have call him is the vice president, which is what happened.
Right. But in terms of what Ecuador is doing, I don't totally understand it. I'm reading the lines, but I can't read between the lines. Are they saying yes, no, or maybe to Edward Snowden?
You know, I think that Ecuador, just from their public comments, is clearly trying to back away from what they see as a car wreck. You know, it was the Ecuadorian ambassador in London who had offered a letter of safe passage to Snowden. That's now been revoked. And the comments that the president of Ecuador made the other day and repeated yesterday certainly makes it very risky for Snowden to make his way to an embassy or to Ecuador without any guarantee at all that he's going to be granted asylum there. I think that the Ecuadorian government is trying to make this not their problem, the same way that the Chinese government tried to make it not their problem by allowing him to leave Hong Kong and go to Moscow.
Right. And, of course, they have given asylum to WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange, who remains in the Ecuadorian embassy, I guess in London, right?
Yes, for more than a year.
And listeners, what do you think? Should Ecuador give political asylum to Edward Snowden? You want to call in and weigh in on that? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. There's such a paradox here, Susan, I think, which is that people are furious at Edward Snowden for being a leaker. And at the same time, they're furious at the United States and really glad to know what he's leaked. So, folks, where do you come down on that? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And did you see the celebrity petition to President Correa of Ecuador asking him to grant asylum to Snowden? Susan, more than 8,000 signatures total, including prominent people in showbiz and politics like Oliver Stone, Danny Glover, Roseanne Barr, Medea Benjamin from Code Pink, Noam Chomsky, Daniel Ellsberg. Would that have any influence on Correa?
Well, on the theory that all politics is local, would the petitions of rose growers in Ecuador who stand to lose $250 million in business in the United States have more influence than some Hollywood celebrities? And I don't know the president of Ecuador, but I can only assume that he cares more about his domestic politics than he does about taking this position. Although he is, you know, the Ecuadorian government has been a real critic of the United States, especially on foreign policy. So I suppose it's possible, but the United States is in a position to exert a lot of influence on other countries, even countries that don't like it. And that's what we're seeing Mr. Snowden face at this point.
Yeah, it is. Well, and what about these bankers? What do you know? I saw this in your paper, USA Today, this morning. I hadn't known about it before because even if he's caving to U.S. pressure, Correa is still chastising the Obama administration for hypocrisy by citing these two bankers, brothers apparently, who Ecuador wants extradited from the United States to there. How familiar are you with the case?
Well, I'm only familiar with it from reading this about it this morning, and I'm glad to hear you're reading the USA Today because you should do that every single day. It's only a dollar.
That's an objective journalistic statement.
But there are these two bankers that were president and vice president of Ecuador's largest bank. And when all the banks started to go south in the late 1990s, Ecuador pumped a lot of money, more than $1 billion into their bank. The bank failed anyway. They fled to Miami. Ecuador has now seized $400 million of their assets in Ecuador, and they're trying to get them extradited from Miami, and the U.S. so far has refused to agree to that. And, you know, the decision of the judge, which I've read just this morning, says that the U.S. is under no obligation to enforce Ecuadorian laws, and that while the defendants may have committed wrongs, which Ecuador has alleged, the attempt to right the defendants' alleged wrong is inconsistent with U.S. law and policy. You can see you could just flip those words, you know, put U.S. where it says Ecuador and Ecuador where it says U.S. if Ecuador wanted to refuse the request of the United States to extradite Snowden, but we don't know if they'll do that. But it does create that discharge of hypocrisy. It also raises the possibility of some kind of agreement that you give us our guy, we'll give you the yours.
Ali in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Should the U.S., should Ecuador rather, take Snowden in for political asylum?
Brian, I'm a good listener for a long time. The best show in the radio between 10 to 12. I want to give you that compliment.
You're very kind.
I think that he should go to Iran because Iran will give him the best things. He's in Moscow. It's only 5 hours train ride. He can go to Tehran as they supply the best arrangement for all the hackers in the world. They have the best prostitute, the best drinks. He should be coming to our country, Tehran, and enjoy the life. And he will have a Western culture. He doesn't need to worry about anything else.
Ali, I get your point. Thank you for calling. And you know, Ali is being sarcastic. But, Susan, it actually gets to, I think, a real dilemma for Edward Snowden, which is that he wants to go to a democracy. I think he's really made that quite clear. He wants to go to a country where he could say they value openness and not secrecy. He doesn't want to just go to an enemy of the United States like Iran, or apparently Venezuela says he would take him. They would take him, but he doesn't want to go there because that's not the image he wants. He wants to be seen as doing something more pure than that with these NSA leaks, not just going to some, you know, dictatorship or theocracy or limited democracy or call those countries whatever you want for the image that that carries.
Because, of course, while other people are calling Edward Snowden a traitor to the United States, he sees himself as a patriot in exposing, particularly in the initial programs that he exposed that involved collection of communications data on U.S. citizens. Now, he's lost maybe a little of that patina with some of the additional leaks that we've seen that involve, you know, that have put the U.S. in a difficult place. I mean, not a surprise that we're spying on China, right? But still awkward to reveal that. But he doesn't see himself as a traitor, and that's why, as you say, he'd like to go not to a place like Iran. But he doesn't, at the moment, have very many options. He presumably is stuck in the transit area of the Moscow airport. Russia won't let him go into the country proper because he doesn't have a visa for there. He doesn't want to come back to the United States. He needs a third country to say he can come there. So far, a country he wants to go to is not willing to take him.
Joel in Union, you're on WNYC.
Hey,
hi, Joel.
Brian. Thanks. Yeah. No, there are two different groups, some who support Snowden and some who don't, obviously. I mean, if Daniel Ellsberg is now considered in the light of history to be a hero, I think many of us think Snowden is, too. I was down for the Bradley Manning trial last Thursday with a group from New York, and there's a group supporting him. There are many of us who feel that the federal government has overreached severely and violated the Constitution with this surveillance thing, that we've committed terrible crimes in Iraq, and that the public needs to know, and that our mainstream media are not really doing the job. So to us, he's a hero.
I hear what you're saying, Joel. Thank you very much.
And
of course, Ellsberg, Susan, I should point out, and I know Joel knows this or must know it, Ellsberg would have gone to prison, even if he is and was considered a hero, were it not that the government illegally investigated him.
Yeah.
So, you know, you may be a hero and also have broken the law.
You know, I'm thinking also of this very interesting panel discussion we had 2 weeks ago here at USA Today, and we published it in the paper and we posted clips of it online of three previous NSA whistleblowers. And these were three men with each of them with more than 30 years of experience in the U.S. intelligence community, in military intelligence and at the NSA, who were whistleblowers on some of these same programs that were revealed with the documentation by Edward Snowden. And they all stayed in the United States. Two of them faced indictments. One of them was charged with 10 violations of the Espionage Act. You know, that's the act we use against our most serious spies. Now, none of them ended up going to prison, but they all lost their jobs, their security clearance. They fought long legal battles to expose some of the programs that they felt violated the Constitution. And I think you look at those men, and they do seem kind of heroic. It's gotten more complicated with Edward Snowden because he's fled the United States and because he's leaked information that goes beyond these programs that spy on Americans.
And the latest wrinkle in that this weekend came from documents that Snowden released to The Guardian and the German newspaper Der Spiegel, indicating the U.S. has spied on European Union offices with listening devices and also specific European and other allied countries, France, Italy, Greece, at their embassies in Washington. In Washington and here in New York. So the EU is furious and is threatening to call off negotiations on a big trade pact that they all just announced with great fanfare when President Obama was in Europe recently. People will remember that maybe. And if it makes sense to us that the U.S. would spy on China in today's world, as Snowden revealed previously, or that the U.S. would collect all our phone records even looking for terrorism contacts, even if all that makes sense, Susan, why do they also spy on European allies?
Well, because I actually think this is in the revelation that's not a surprise. I mean, are you surprised that that we spy on our allies? I assume our allies also spy on us. I mean, it's now, although the outrage from the EU was pretty significant, the German government called in the U.S. ambassador for consultations. I think that's a pretty serious thing. Germany's justice minister said it was reminiscent of the actions of enemies during the Cold War. But I guess are you surprised that this is going on?
Well, I'm not surprised that it's going on. I'm a little surprised that the U.S. Was so open in saying everybody does this to everybody. Did you see that quote? I don't know if everybody has it. It was in the New York Times today. I don't know if it's something they got or just something that the government released, but it was from a spokesman for the Director of National Intelligence. And the quote is, "The U.S. gathers foreign intelligence of the type gathered by all nations."
Yeah.
So, but is that true? All those European nations are bugging each other and bugging us in the same way. So this is as normal as brushing your teeth?
Well, I assume the United States has special capabilities because we are the United States. But I assume spying goes on everywhere. The thing that has surprised me in all these revelations is the extent of the spying on you. Spying may be the wrong word, but the extent of surveillance on U.S. citizens, because of the constitutional prohibition against illegal search and seizure. And I thought that was surprising, but nothing else I've heard, I think, has really been very remarkable. Interesting, incredible to see some of the actual names of the projects for the spying on our friends and their embassies. But not surprising.
Susan Page, Washington Bureau Chief for USA Today. Let me go through a few more of these calls on should Ecuador grant asylum to Edward Snowden. And then I want to ask you one other Washington question on one other topic. John and Paramus, should they grant asylum? Real quick.
Absolutely not. The United States should threaten them with economic sanctions, and the Justice Department should get on the case and capture this guy and bring him back.
Thank you very much. Jules in Englishtown, should they give him asylum?
I think they should hire this guy. I mean, clearly he's exposed.
Ecuador or the U.S.? Who should hire this guy?
I think the American government should pardon this guy. And clearly, like, if anybody has ever seen the movie about Facebook, where I forget his name offhand, but the creator of Facebook, he hacked into Harvard's mainframe,
right?
And he said to them that he was doing them a favor to expose their all these weaknesses in their database. If there's somebody like this out there who can do that so easily,
yes,
to some sort of supposedly reinforced database.
Right, I hear you. This is the Zuckerberg-Snowden analogy. Of course, they tried hiring Edward Snowden. I think they've been down that route. Boris in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Should Ecuador give him asylum?
I'm not sure, but I'd just like to say that Edward Snowden releases information on the domestic spying can put him in the Bradley Manning category of hero transparency, but his exposure of the U.S. cyber war strategy against China to the Hong Kong newspaper puts him squarely in the traitor spy category, more like the Rosenbergs who sent nuclear secrets to the Soviet Union during the Cold War and wound up in the electric chair.
Thank you. Well, that certainly complicates the case. I don't know that the Rosenbergs is the right analogy, Susan, but I think that gave him a black eye with a lot of people following the news who were previously sympathetic. The fact that he leaked that particular fact that the U.S. was cyber spying on China to the South China Morning Post, people who thought at first that he was just for transparency at that point were like, what? You're telling who? What? Why?
And, of course, the biggest concern the White House and the U.S. government has now is that there's additional information that he has that he's going to release that will be similarly difficult for the United States to deal with. You know, the China report came as the U.S. has been pushing hard on China against its own cyber hacking. It made that task a lot harder for Washington.
One question on another topic. We have about half a minute left. Is the House going to pass immigration reform?
I don't think so. I think it's a real uphill battle. You know, the reason the Senate passed it with bipartisan support is because senators and national Republicans see an imperative to appeal to Hispanic voters. Republican House members do not have districts that have big Hispanic voting populations. If you take all the Republican House districts together, they are 75% white, non-Hispanic, so that political imperative just doesn't apply. They're a very conservative group of people, so, you know, anything is possible, but I think this is going to be really tough.
So, look at that. Just came across Serena Williams, lost at Wimbledon. There are no big names left in that whole tournament. they're not going to be susceptible to pressure from other Republicans who say, our party's never going to win the White House again if we don't do this, which a lot of them are saying.
These guys are not running for the White House. They're running in House districts. And because of the way these districts have been drawn and because of the importance of the Tea Party movement, most of these Republican House members are more concerned about being seen as too liberal rather than being seen as too conservative. That's in their interest. I think, you know, it's you don't want to say it's impossible because things do happen, but I think it's tough, and I don't think the House Speaker, John Boehner, feels that he's in a position to really pressure these guys in a serious way.
Caught between the Tea Party and the mainstream Republican establishment again is John Boehner, and we leave it there with Susan Page, Washington Bureau Chief for USA Today. Susan, always great.
Hey, Brian, thank you.
And coming up next, a special guest, Steve Fulop, from Goldman Sachs trader to U.S. Marine in Iraq to mayor of Jersey City. He will join us in our studio just before being inaugurated later today. Stay with us.